Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We began the day today talking about the trade that the Bruins made yesterday when they traded Ryan Donato to the Minnesota Wild for Charlie Coyle. Coyle will be in the lineup Saturday afternoon when the Bruins wrap up their five-game road trip in St. Louis against the Blues. My guess is he's going to join them today. I'm not even sure if they stayed in Vegas or if they went directly to St. Louis.
Probably go to St. Louis.
It's snowing in Vegas.
Probably get out of Vegas if you can.
But I'm sure he'll join the team today, or if he hasn't already, at some point today. It is a deal that Rich isn't so sure that he likes right now.
I am sure that I don't like it.
Well, you said depending on if they do anything else,
I'd like them to do something else.
I feel confident that they... Don Sweeney said today, I don't know if we're going to do anything else or not.
I know, but I don't believe... I don't believe anything right now. So they have till Monday. I just thought they were selling real low on Donato because this year has not gone the way that he has wanted it to go, has spent so much time in Providence. So I think it's been underwhelming, certainly, for him. But we've seen some flashes of him, and I just think... he has the chance to be that guy in a couple of years that you look around and say, oh, geez, 25 goals, 30 goals from this guy, and what'd you get? And I'm just, we'll see. I'll admit, I've not seen a ton of Charlie Coyle. I know he's been in Minnesota his entire career. He's a local guy, Thayer and BU and all that stuff. But I look at it this season. I know, but it's relevant because it's local.
Okay.
If he played for Saskatoon, I wouldn't mention
probably
it.
Probably not.
But... he has 10 goals on the season, and let's see how he does, what role he plays. Maybe it's as a winger for Krejci until Pastrnak gets back, and then he centers the third line. I know Sweeney also said today, bringing Coyle in, he's a top nine guy. I'm looking for a top six guy, which maybe they'll still get, but...
I think they're trying to still get another guy.
I was left underwhelmed.
I understand.
Yeah. So you like it.
Because I don't care about 2 or 3 years from now.
Yeah.
I care more about this year and next year.
In the moment.
And, try to... they are a better hockey team today than they were yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, they traded a guy from Providence.
Because they traded a guy from Providence.
Sure.
And
I admit that. Even anybody who doesn't like the trade, you can't say that they're worse right now.
No,
this
they're better.
This season's team has improved a little bit, but, with every trade, the question is at what cost?
So Bruce Boudreau was asked about Ryan Donato this morning. He said, I coached his dad, Teddy. And so Boudreau was then asked, did Teddy like you? Boudreau says, yeah, he liked me. I don't know if his son's going to like me. As you get older, you get crustier, he says.
Yeah, he may not. He seems like a guy who might holler at you a little bit.
And he's a guy who really likes guys who play the 200-foot game.
That's not necessarily Ryan's thing.
It's the single biggest hole in his game. Physically, I think he's got to get bigger and stronger, and people have talked about that.
He's
He's just not very... physically strong yet. And by the way, he's a kid. He's still growing. But I think the other part of that is, his work in his own end leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah. But I think also another part of the deal was we talked about so many guys who were rentals, and they still may acquire one of those guys, like Mark Stone or Panarin or Simmons or Duchesne. But Coyle has another year on his contract. So that's another part of this.
At a reasonable number, from the Bruins' perspective, it's $3.2 million.
Right.
So prorated share of that this year, $3.2 million next year.
And they had a lot of holes to fill. Really, the entire third line, which is, you have pointed out, is essentially now the fourth line. But that line needed an upgrade across the board, really.
Absolutely
so
needed.
Coyle on his own, I don't mind. I wondered if you could have given up somebody else. I probably would have liked it a little bit more if it was somebody else instead of Donato. But we'll see. And now I'm curious what else they're willing to deal. Because they only had to give up a fifth-round pick. So it's not like they went nuts and gave up a first or second round or anything like that. So we'll see how he fits in. They could definitely use talent at the forward position and a guy who can play a couple of spots, which is good.
So that's what happened from the Bruins' perspective. We've talked about Kyrie Irving and the comments that he made to Steve Volpett. We've talked to Steve Volpett, in fact, about the comments Kyrie made to him yesterday. They were practicing at Marquette, I believe.
Yeah,
they're in Milwaukee tonight.
Which I can't wait. Finally a game. It's been 8 days. I'm excited for a game to actually take place and to see Giannis again, who's unbelievable, who might be becoming the best player in the league. Like, he's that good. But Kyrie, Dale, it is maddening. Do you have a favorite Kyrie quote from this season? Because he has had so many gems. The most recent one, telling Steve Volpett,
You believe in the internet?
Is the internet real for you in your life? Oh, God.
What? You do it for the likes and clicks.
You're doing it for the likes and clicks. Now he's mad at Steve Volpett, who's been covering the team for like 30 years. He's mad at him because he thinks he's just going, he's clickbait. So Steve Volpett now is clickbait? He covered the team when Ainge was playing for the team, let alone running the team. Give me a break. He was doing it before Twitter existed, before the websites existed. He was covering the team. Oh, my God. And he was trying to do Kyrie Irving a favor, and he couldn't even – he took that.
He didn't
made it
get,
worse.
Yeah, he didn't get that Volpett was trying to give him an off-ramp.
Isn't that the most – you could say that about everything. Anything that Kyrie Irving says, be like, start out the conversation by saying he didn't get, and then fill in whatever else. He doesn't get any of it. He thinks that only the media cares about where Kyrie Irving is going next year or where Kevin Durant is going next year. And he and Kevin Durant are so eerily similar. That rant that Durant had that one day about how I just want to play basketball. And then the next day, there was a thing on ESPN about how Durant has like this documentary series coming out about like what it's like behind the scenes. You're like, wait a minute, what? This is the same guy that just wants to play basketball. Now it's like, oh, in the boardroom with Kevin Durant. These guys want
they want to become they are already, but they want to build their brand.
They want, but how else do you build your brand if you're in the news all the time and it's not
who are you? Why do I got to talk to you? Tell me.
That's Kyrie Irving. They're the same guy now.
Yeah.
And he's going down the LeBron path. I think that's very clear. A lot of people have compared Kyrie to LeBron, but the next notch below LeBron is Durant and Kyrie Irving, and they are the same guy. Like, I just want to play basketball. Well, unless I'm selling a shoe or selling a movie or selling my documentary, then I want you guys to see that. Make sure you tweet about that and talk about that. But if you're going to ask me about where I'm going, because the truth is I'm not staying on my current team, and I feel weird lying, so I'm just going to throw a fit and then blame you. Like, oh, why do you care about this? I don't know. It's a pretty big deal.
Look, we haven't written about it. We're like, that's we're coming to you to ask you about it, okay?
Hey, people like who then?
Well, it's all over the internet.
Is the internet real for you in your life?
I mean, that if you told me, if I just read that and you're like, that's what he said, I'd be like, I don't believe you. Like, there's no way he would have come up with that. No, he did. He's real.
We are
fans are interested in it. That's all.
Oh, the fans.
Yes.
This is about the fans.
Is
Kyrie suggesting?
Yes, he writes for the fans. That's exactly.
That's his job.
That's the job description is to be the conduit between the player and the fan.
Does Kyrie,
fan can't talk to Kyrie. Right. So Volpett does and then tells the fan what Kyrie says.
They've been doing it like that for.
It's been a long time.
Centuries they've been doing this thing for. So does he think that the fans don't care about that? Like, what questions in Kyrie's mind do the fans want to know?
So it's a video of me and one of my best friends talking.
Yeah.
And then it turns out to be a dissection of a free agency meeting. You get that? Like, do you get that? And then I'm asked questions about it.
Yes. Like that's how it works. And if you would like to, as Volpett mentioned, pour some water on it, let's go. And then now you're on the record. Now we aren't speculating. Now we aren't staring at this video trying to read lips and looking at different memes. You can set us straight. Be like, hey, that's just a couple of best friends talking. We were excited to play together, but you know, we both have goals this
Hadn't
season
seen
to win a title.
Each other in a couple of months,
and
or
we were,
whatever.
Yeah, we're hoping that we meet each other in the finals. Wow, that'd be amazing. Oh, that'd be great. No, instead he's like, he's so mad about him, and he's calling him clickbait, and he's saying that the fans aren't interested in this stuff. So what are they interested in? I'm curious. What would the fans be interested in?
Where you can get Uncle Drew hats?
Yeah, great. Uncle Drew is on Blu-ray. Is that what they're worried about? Or they're worried about they're out of bounds plays. Hey, you guys really drew one up the other day when they went to Tatum instead of you. Let's talk about that play again.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that fans don't care about stuff on the court. I do. I can't wait. Game's at 8:00 tonight. I'm going to sit down, have a nice little
have
beverage.
A sit.
I'm going to have a sit, have some snacks, have a beer, and I'm going to watch the Bucks and the Celtics. I can't wait. But all the other stuff is fascinating. It makes the league, like, what's one of the big complaints about baseball right now, Dale? The offseason's trash.
Nothing's
Bryce Harper
going
hasn't
on,
even
nothing.
Signed yet. The offseason is awful.
You did finally get Machado signed.
Yeah,
but
right, 4 months later. basketball, it's nonstop. And it's not like these rumors are coming up out of nowhere. In fact, Rich Paul, your buddy LeBron's agent and best friend, he started a lot of this stuff. And then you blame the media about it.
It just doesn't make the league fun.
Well, then blame Rich Paul. Tell Rich Paul he's not making the league fun. Tell LeBron, who bailed on Cleveland twice, that he's not making the league fun. Tell all these guys, Kevin Durant, who bailed on Oklahoma City and is probably going to bail on Golden State and he's going to go somewhere else and change the power in the league. Tell them that it's not fun. The roster creation thing, whether fans like it or not, that the players have so much more control.
And the fans generally don't like
it. Some of them are upset. Well, if they're not going to their team, don't like it. But it does. It makes it fascinating. These guys, it's not just a rumor of a player. Oh, he might go somewhere. No, he will. These guys are moving all the time, and they're going to ask you about it. And you have a chance to kind of kill it off.
Nobody helps promote the league anymore by doing bull like that.
I really disagree with that. You don't think it promotes the league at all? Talking about, ooh, Durant and Kyrie might play, they team up together. We haven't seen a game that matters in over a week. So would you rather just no discussion about the league? That's what it sounds like. I just want to play basketball. It's clicks and likes.
617-779-7937. One quick baseball note. OMF will be broadcasting live from JetBlue Park today.
Nice.
I will preview what is the big story of the day for them.
Oh, I can't wait.
Gigantic.
Whoa.
Dustin Pedroia showed up without a beard.
Oh, so you didn't want to tease that?
For the first... No, hell no. I'm screwing up their whole gig. Showed up without a beard for the first time. I can't remember the last time.
Like Edelman.
He looks like he's 12.
He's a young guy without the beard, huh?
I mean, he has taken 10 years off his look, and that may be what he's going for here, by the way.
I hope so. Maybe he rejuvenated this season.
Nesson.com's got some footage of him. You know, they're out doing infield drills and doing their... And you look at him, he makes a throw, and then he and Brock Holt chest bump, and you're thinking, who the hell is that?
Who's that
Wait
guy?
A minute. That's Pedroia.
Little Dustin Pedroia out there.
Little Dustin
Having
Pedroia,
a nice time.
Clean shaven.
Good for him.
Looking like a little kid again. So OMF will be all over this at 2 o'clock when they begin their show down at JetBlue Park. 617-779-7937. Jeffrey's on the cell. Hey, Jeffrey.
Hi there.
Jeffrey.
Hi. Let me take off speaker.
Oh, thank perfect. You. What's up?
I was kind of curious. I had, Rich, I was wondering on your opinion. You think that people employ revisionist history with the fact that there's so much access to the players now? I mean, in the past, I know it was kind of an unwritten rule that the media wouldn't go to certain lengths to embarrass or expose indiscretions of the players.
Well, I mean, I think there's a big difference between seeing a video of two All-Stars, you know, in the hallway at All-Star Weekend and really digging into personal dirt. I mean, I'd leave that to TMZ if they want to get into, you know, who's hooking up with who and all that other nonsense. I don't think this was anything crazy.
But, you know, there was a lot of drama in the past. I mean, Dale, like, when Cedric Maxwell was having his issues with the Celtics, you know, I don't know if that was over not playing hurt or what started it, but, you know, I believe that there's
All right.
I'm sorry. I just...
All right. Thank you, Rossi. That was way too late on that.
I think...
What's his point? The media access? I couldn't really follow.
There seemed to be some beef between Cedric and Red.
Okay.
But people reported on it back then, too.
Yeah, so they're doing it more, and maybe now you just get more of it. I don't know if that was his point about how, you know, Twitter didn't exist, and even, like, fan videos become a whole thing. You remember when Kyrie told that fan in Philly what to do after a game? Remember that? That was last year?
Yeah.
Like, that sort of stuff, that makes news, and whatever. I mean, that was sort of a joke or whatever, but some of the other stuff, I don't know. I also think that's kind of part of the job in a way. And I'm not saying you need to go to Kyrie Irving's house and go through his trash. Like, that's insane. But some of the other questions about where they may be going, I think that's all on board.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got a couple of Patriots things for you.
Ooh.
When we come back on the other side, including their schedule for the upcoming season and a suggestion that somebody has made. 617-779-7937, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WE.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
EEI.
No need to check the time, as it's...
We have noon 30.
Noon 30.
It's noon 30.
It's going to be the Wild West at noon 30. Dale's already warmed up to noon 30.
No, I have.
You just said noon 30.
Well, that's what you call it for crying.
It's noon 30 with Dale and Keith.
A couple of quick Patriots items here at noon 30, because that's what time of day it is.
You better believe it.
Ryan Hannibal, WEEI.com, writes this. Based on the schedule, how next year's opponents finished this past season, the Patriots have the second easiest schedule in the NFL next year.
Really? Thanks, AFC East.
Their opponents for this coming season in 2018 had a combined winning percentage of 473. They're tied with the Bengals, Giants, Jets, and Rams for the easiest schedule in the NFL. The Redskins have the easiest, I should say. They're tied for the second easiest. Redskins have the easiest. Their opponents had a winning percentage of 469. The hardest schedule in the NFL this year will be the Raiders, whose opponents had a 539 winning percentage last year.
Yeah, it makes. I mean, with the Chargers and the Chiefs right. twice, I mean, those are two, they had great records, so that makes sense.
So, in addition to the AFC East, at home, the Patriots are going to play the Browns, Steelers, Cowboys, Giants, and Chiefs.
Quick start for the Pates. The Patriots.
That's pretty good. I can't wait for that Browns game.
On the road, they're playing the Ravens, the Bengals, the Texans, the Eagles, and the Redskins.
Yeah, so it's an NFC East, AFC North season.
Yes.
P-A-T-S, Pats.
Who knows what the Steelers are going to look like this season? I can't imagine great. The Bengals are the Bengals.
So when you talk Ravens, about the possibility Browns, of repeating as Super Bowl champions.
Strong to quite strong.
The Patriots, based on last year, and
yes,
things change.
They got an easy schedule.
They're tied for the second easiest schedule in the league. I was surprised when I read this from Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com.
All right, Mike.
He points out that the Pro Football Hall of Fame has a 5-year waiting period before players and coaches can be considered for enshrinement.
That seems standard across the sports, right?
He's suggesting that they should waive that 5-year requirement for both Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
Okay.
He says presumably both will retire at some point.
Well, we'll see.
Undoubtedly, both will get in after the 5-year waiting period on the first try with no debate.
Yes.
So why not put them in the moment they're done? As they point out on the site, Brady has, in effect, had two Hall of Fame careers, one before and one after his 2008 ACL tear.
And I think he may have a case at three Hall of Fame careers.
Yeah. I know, it's crazy. Yeah. As they point out, the same could be said for Belichick. Really, if both had retired 5 or more years ago, they'd already be in Canton.
Right.
In the past 5 years, they've simply added more and more ammunition to what was already a no-brainer case. So he's saying, here's my argument. Don't make them wait. The minute they retire, put them in.
Okay.
Now, in hockey, they've done it 9 times. In hockey, they've waived the waiting period.
Gretzky?
On 9 occasions. Lemieux.
Okay. Why? So, my first thought when I read this was, this must be a really slow day for Mike. For him to come up with it, like, what? They're going to be Hall of Famers. Everybody else waits the 5 years. Even the no-brainers like Randy Moss and Ray Lewis and whoever else, they wait the 5 years. Then they get in. Then they can really celebrate. And then that way you sort of retire, and then you're kind of out of the game for a little bit. And then we get to remember you all over again 5 years later. There's no problem with this. You don't need to change that. You know what makes more sense is...
I like his idea, but...
You want to just put them in right away?
Yes.
What's the difference?
Why?
They're
okay,
get in
why
there.
Are you waiting?
Because you wait for everybody else.
I'm saying...
Yeah.
In
why do you wait? Why do you wait ever?
Well, I guess what they're trying to get away from is, what if he decides he's going to come back? Now, in Brady's case, when he retires, I'm going to suggest...
He might be back.
I'm going to suggest that when he does retire, that might be it for him.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't really understand the point. I don't think it matters. Where it would make more sense to me is rename... Like the Super Bowl trophy, the Belichick, or rename. Is there a name for the Super Bowl MVP? Does that have a name? It does? Because like in basketball, I think it's the Bill Russell trophy goes to the MVP of the finals. But rename that. Rename that the Brady. Like, who's going to win the Brady? That makes more sense than, oh, they got in the year after they retired. Like, whatever. They're going to get in regardless. But something that to really be a part of the game forever, there's a lot of guys in the Hall of Fame. There's not as many guys that have certain trophies or awards named after them.
It just and their point simply is, if they both retired 5 years ago, they'd be in now.
But that's weird. But there are other first ballot Hall of Famers, but they all wait the 5 years. You know what I mean? And I think Brady's the best. I do, but
I'm
just
saying. It's okay to change the rules.
We can change the name of that trophy.
Which one?
It's currently the Pete Rozelle trophy.
Oh, yeah, the MVP trophy is the Pete Rozelle?
Let's change that one.
Change that to Brady. That's a much better honor than, ooh, he's a first year Hall of Famer. Pete Rozelle, take a hike. It's the Tom Brady Award. What, he's won it 3 times, right? It's pretty good. Something to sneeze at. That Mike Florio, is a much better honor than waiving the 5-year waiting period.
I kind of like the idea. And it's okay, by the way, to change your rules.
Oh, he's won four.
Four Super Bowl MVPs.
Oh, never mind. Even more reason to do it. Yeah, they've won 6. That's insane.
Update, yes. Patriots have won 6 Super Bowls.
Yeah, so he's won 4 Super Bowl MVPs. They should already change the
name. Is there much of an argument left about whether or not Brady is the best quarterback who's ever played the game?
No.
I mean,
not even nationally.
In remote outposts of, Montana never lost in a Super Bowl. That crowd.
That's the worst person in the world.
Oh, God. Yes.
See,
please.
The Montana's never lost in the Super Bowl guy, worst guy.
I know.
Horrible guy. Like, open your eyes. Look at the rest of it. No, Brady, that conversation's been retired in New England for a handful of years. But I think even nationally, you're just stupid or you're just trying to be contrarian. In order, to suggest anybody else.
I mean, in the NHL's case, for instance, when Gretzky retired, it was like, oh, why are we waiting?
Didn't they retire his number?
Around the whole league.
That's what I'm saying. That's outrageous.
So, why are we waiting? Yeah. I mean, really? Yeah. And I think that exact same argument can be made about Brady. Okay, he's retired now at the age of 48.
It's so overwhelming.
Whenever it happens.
It might be
so overwhelming, and you're not going to have to be afraid that, well, what if he comes back? Hall of Fame, and 2 years later he comes back.
Well, he could be an active Hall of Famer then. I think they'd be fine. It'd be a good pub for the league.
And in Belichick's case, again, it's a pretty easy argument for us to make around here, the best coach who's ever done it.
Yeah,
and for sure. Okay, so nothing's going to change in the next 5 years that's going to enhance his Hall of Fame candidacy in the same way that the NHL said, look, why are we doing this? Why are we making Gretzky wait?
But like
why
Jerry,
make these two guys?
But like Jerry Rice had to wait. Lawrence Taylor had to wait. Joe Montana had to wait. So all these other guys had to wait. And it's not like you're sitting out there and you're freezing them for 10 years. Like, it's 5 years. That's what it is. And then you go in that class, the other first ballot guys will be the same guys that left the same year as you. I just think I have no problem with how the system is done now. We've talked to, Diossi was saying how normally another reason why they wait is so you're not just so caught up in how that last year ended. Now, that doesn't really apply to Brady and Belichick. They're as easy layups as it gets. But just I don't need to change the rules for them for this.
Well, that was a suggestion that Florio had.
I feel like
when
it was
I read
a slow
it yesterday,
day on Pro Football
Talk. When I read it, I thought I can understand the argument.
Yeah.
Because it's not like, I was just picturing, how they always have a member of the media make the case. Like in Ty Law's case this year, when he was elected to the Hall of Fame, Ron Borges made the argument. And we heard about the length of these, the process, how long they took to do it. And it varies. I think it was it Rice when they said, okay, Jerry.
No, it was John Elway.
Oh, John.
And
the guy says, he stood up. He said, John Elway.
And sat down.
He sat down.
Yeah, and he was in.
Now, in Tom Brady's
case,
what are you going to say?
Yeah, I'd be like, all right, besides Brady, who do we want to put in this year? That's what you would say. I mean, that's as slam dunk as it gets. And that's why there needs to be, and Bill Simmons has talked about this for the Basketball Hall of Fame, there does need to be a tier system. Because when you get certain guys that are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, so like Kevin Mawai, for example, I'm sure he's a very nice center, but Kevin Mawai is in the same Hall of Fame as Tom Brady. Like, no, there needs to be a separation there. Like, Brady needs to have a wing with like the all-time team. Like, get like the 22 best players of all time, put them in a wing because they should have a different distinction than just some of these other guys that get in.
I will tell you that in the NHL, the waiting period was waived for 10 players in the history of the league. And this goes all the way back to Dick Clapper in 47, former Bruin, by
Dick
the way.
Dick Clapper, Dickerson brought up Dick Clapper yesterday or 2 days ago. So that's the second Dick Clapper mention this week on Dale and Keith.
So the
Keith,
other one,
on you.
The other ones for whom they waived the waiver period. They said, we don't have to wait for him.
Gordie Howe.
Maurice Richard.
Okay.
Rocket Richard. Ted Lindsay. Red Kelly. Terry Sawchuk. Jean Beliveau. Gordie Howe. Bobby Orr. Mario Lemieux. And Wayne Gretzky. After Gretzky in 1999, they said, you know what? The waiting period would no longer be waived for any player except under, quote-unquote, certain humanitarian circumstances.
Yeah, I understand. So what that could probably mean. But for Gretzky, so he retired that as well. So, like, we're retiring his number and we're retiring
the waiving of the wait period.
Yeah, but I don't think it's necessary.
In the NHL, they've done it 10 times, and the last one was Gretzky, and they decided they weren't going to do that anymore. In Lemieux's case, he actually played after he was inducted.
I thought that sounds right.
Because, you know, they waived the waiting period because of the illness.
Yes.
You know, he had leukemia, beat leukemia, returned to play, and he actually played after he was inducted into the Hall of Fame.
So he's an active Hall of Famer. Pretty good.
He was.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Not going to happen in the NFL, apparently.
No, I don't think so.
Because Little Richie doesn't like it.
Well, if it's up to me, I would say no. Like, what's really the difference?
It's not up to you. It should be.
Well,
on
this show it is. So break the tie, Rossi. I say don't do that. It's stupid. Dale says it's a nice honor. He wants it done. Break the tie.
I want it to happen.
Okay, that's done.
The moment he says he retires.
Lucy, do you want to weigh in on this to maybe force a tie?
Yes.
Okay, see, there you go.
She said yes. I don't even know what is that
on our side.
She sided with me.
No.
No? Are we sure?
Lucy?
I sided with Keith.
There you go. It's a tie.
Suck up.
It's a tie.
Come on, Lucy.
There you go.
Okay. Listen, the day he retires, put him in the Hall of Fame. Exact day. I want a statement.
Yes. Drive him to camp.
I want him to put out a bad tweet with a music video.
They should allow him in by himself. No other class that year. Just shut it down.
Don't let anybody else in.
Just him by himself.
You have a better chance of him getting in the Hall of Fame the day he retires than him going in by himself.
By himself. Nobody else.
With Belichick?
Nope. Just himself.
They're not going to retire at the same time.
No, they're not.
Belichick's going to be coaching after Brady's done.
Yeah.
Is Belichick going to coach till he dies?
No. Well, unless you've heard something. No, he's not.
He's getting up there. I'm just saying. Like, if Brady's got another few years, how much longer is this going to go?
In Brady's case, I'm going to say 2 more years. In Belichick's case, I'm going to say 5 more years.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. Four or five for Belichick, two for Brady.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Joe's on the cell. Hey, Joe.
Hey, I know I'm a little late to the conversation, but, you know, I just wanted to talk about Rich's Kyrie take. I mean, we're watching one of, like, the best point guards in the NBA have, like, a career year, and yet all the media wants to do is talk about where he's going next season rather than, like, appreciate, like, what's honestly been, like, a career year for him. You know, so I honestly just don't agree with that take. I mean, I can kind of agree
Kyrie. So what do you think about the stuff that he has said? You're good with all of it?
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I mean, to be honest, it's kind of like it feels like the media is prodding him. And to bring up like a point that you had made about how like the media is kind of a conduit between the fans and, you know, the players. I mean, players are more accessible than ever now with like social media. I mean, like you could reach out to one like on, you know, a Twitter DM or, you know, a Instagram DM and they'll get back to you.
Oh, they do? They get back to you on Twitter?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So what did you reach out and ask him about him and Durant?
Yeah,
did he get
back?
What did he say?
No, he didn't do that. I actually have talked to Joel Embiid, though. Like, just, like...
Oh, yeah? How'd that go?
That's neither here nor there.
No, but Kyrie is, so you don't think he opens the door for some of these questions? I mean, he's told everybody that he's coming back, and then he was saying, well, ask me on July 1st, and now he's throwing teammates under the bus. Do you like all that stuff?
No, I don't like that, but what I'm saying is the media kind of controls the narrative with that. I mean, like... There's been no talk about how he's been having like a career year. So I think
the media allowed him to control his own narrative and he decided to not do that. Like he decided to make it much worse. This Steve Bulbet exchange is a good example of that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. But at the same time, I mean, like how long has like since Kyrie's kind of come to Boston? He's never really had this kind of spotlight on him. He's always kind of been like Robin to LeBron's like Batman.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, I know he's been in LeBron's shadow in a way, but he was still starting in All-Star games. He was in a movie. Like, he's one of the most famous players in the league.
No, of course, but I think this is his first time being like in the direct spotlight of the media, and obviously he's not used to handling that. And, you know, I'm just saying that I think if like there was a narrative, like if we were able to take some time to appreciate what's really been a career year for him.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
On top of just like, you know, questioning him about like his future, which I think is warranted. I think that would kind of
I think we've said on a number of occasions, you know, when he's playing, he's great.
Like, and if you don't find him annoying, like God bless you. I don't know how you do it. He is obnoxious when he talks. Some of the stuff that he said recently, anything in the Rachel Nichols interview, the post-game scrum where he's just ripping on the young guys, he's just got an excuse for everything. He wants to be like LeBron. He called LeBron and apologized to him. I mean, it's sickening. And I understand he's played well. Okay, great. It's gotten them to fourth in the Eastern Conference. Let's see how he does in the playoffs. But then he's going to bolt on you, and you're going to be like, well, what happened? We didn't see that coming. It's like, well, no, they've asked him about it throughout the year, and he just freaks out when he's asked an honest question, and he's even afforded a time to end some of the speculation, and he doesn't do it. He makes it so much worse for himself.
Let me give you some...
He's having a career year, though, Dylan.
I don't know if you heard that. Let me give you some hot number news, okay?
Hot
number news. This is hot off the press. Ooh. Charlie Coyle wears a WAR number 3 for the Minnesota Wild.
Okay.
That's retired for the Bruins for Lionel Hitchman. Not an option for him.
Classic.
So he's going to wear number 13.
No, I don't like that.
The most famous number 13 in Bruins history was Ken Linsman.
Right.
Others who have worn number 13 include Grigory Pantaleev.
I'm sorry?
No. Bill Guerin.
Love Billy Guerin.
He only wore it for a couple of years.
Favorite Bruin.
Stanislav Chistov.
Chistov did wear 13.
And the last guy to wear number 13 for the Bruins back in 2008 was Glenn Metropolit.
It's a real who's who.
I would say that you could probably dig that number out of retirement there.
Yeah, and, they can pass that one out. All right, so we'll see him
so
Saturday.
So you're superstitious enough to...
I don't like 13. Can't have 13 on the volume on the TV or the radio. I would never wear the jersey number 13. There's a name for that, right? It's like
Trescodecaphobiac.
Kind of yeah, is that what it is?
Yes.
That's me. Would not wear it.
Have you ever had to go to the 13th floor?
No. Most buildings wisely don't have
Most
one.
Hotels don't. I have stayed in hotels that have 13th floors.
I would suggest
Modern
I do not stay on the
floor. Modern hotels and apartment complexes all have 13. It's like back.
Well, that's dumb. I would not stay there. I don't like the number 13. And I'm
13th
not alone.
13th row on an airplane?
Yeah. Out of there. No chance am I sitting in that thing. None. What, you don't have any phobias, Rossi?
No, I'm trying to think about the 13th. Of course, I have a million
yeah,
phobias.
Yeah, okay. Thought so. So don't
give me overrun by phobias.
Yeah, that's all it is. But 13th's not one of them.
No.
I don't like it.
It bothers me.
I don't care for the 13th.
617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Rocking the midday with Dan Arnold.
What the bleep is wrong with you people?
And Rich Keefe.
I'm talking when I'm talking!
What you say and who you say it to.
On WEEI.
Six one seven 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 nine seven ninety three seven is the telephone number. An astute texter, by the way, Keith and Lucy, points out to both of you guys.
Yes,
that if the plane crashes, chances are if you're in the 13th row or the 12th or the 14th, it's not going to matter a lot to you.
But it's more likely to go down if
well, somebody's going to be in it, right?
Well, somebody might not be worried about it. Somebody's not. If they don't have that phobia.
If Keith sits in the 13th row, now I'm not getting on the same plane.
Correct. It's like a final destination.
So
situation.
You'll know then.
Yeah. You'll know.
That's a good
Something's
point.
Something's amiss.
So you'll just stay away from that one, I guess, huh?
Yes.
All right. So the Patriots have the second easiest schedule in the NFL next year. I read Matt Chatham had a whole big thing on The Athletic.
I got him at 12-4, by the way.
Win,
yeah.
Loss,
yep.
Loss, mm-hmm. Win, yep. Win.
12-4.
So Matt Chatham did a whole thing on The Athletic where he said, not only is the Patriots window not closed, it might be open for the foreseeable future.
Well, I don't know about that. What does he mean by foreseeable future? 2 more years? Because I think it's as good. I think it's there as long as Brady is. But after Brady, I don't know how you could say it's going to be anywhere near what it is right now.
Well, I think he's assuming that, you know, Brady's going to hang around for a little while, too.
Because I'm not convinced Gronk is back. I know you're saying that he is going to be back. I don't know if he is. But Brady might play another year or two, and then they're right there. And then somebody also has to take it from him, too. Somebody in the AFC has to take it from him. And will it finally be the Chiefs? You know, maybe the Chiefs improve their defense. Because I think their offense is good enough, but is their defense going to get better? And well, maybe they're the team.
He also points out
the Steelers.
That not only had the Patriots, after they lost to the Eagles in the Super Bowl, everybody was saying, okay, finally, okay. Put them in the rearview mirror. They're, yeah. That dynasty is
a
over.
A little premature.
As he points out, you know, the Patriots didn't go away and die like everybody wanted them to.
Yeah.
Just the opposite. They were emboldened. And he says, as he points out, New England has a bunch of picks in the early rounds of the 2019 NFL draft, in addition to several promising picks from the 2018 class who got injured, and you're thinking are going to make even greater contributions next year.
Well, maybe.
Well, I mean, the assumption is
Wynn and Bentley?
Well, Wynn especially. I mean, okay. you spent a first round pick on a guy who you thought was going to be your left tackle, and he ends up not playing a down for you in the regular season.
But look at their three drafts prior to that. How many guys are helping your team? And doesn't that catch up to you? If you have a bunch of these drafts, don't you need those guys to hit while they're still on the cheaper contracts? Because we talked about that throughout the season. And they hit on a guy like Stephon Gilmore, and the secondary was playing well. And they hit on some of these other spots. But I don't know. I think that could come back to bite them down the road. That's why I think they're right there again for this season. But I'd be a little hesitant to say the foreseeable future.
Well, he just says that not only is the window not closed, which is what people thought in the aftermath of the Philadelphia loss, not only is it not closed, that it may be reopening, if anything. They went out there and won this year's Super Bowl, and they've got a bunch of picks coming up to help restock the lard here, the larder, and they may be stronger next year than they were this year.
I don't know about that. I mean, do you think Tom Brady's going to be better than he was this year?
Better, no, but I don't think I don't see an appreciable drop off.
I think he's
still going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, he's going to be good, but I don't know to say because what if Devin McCourty retires? What if they make Hightower take a pay cut? Like, there's so much that could still change that I think they're very much year to year. Like, I would say 2019, but you know, we don't know what happened with free agency in the draft yet, but just what the assumption is they're going to be in the mix for 2019. But I don't know how you can project forward with 2020 based on some of their bad drafts and then the uncertainty of, you know, the age of the quarterback and really a lot of the guys on your team. You know, there's a bunch of guys that could be retiring sooner rather than later.
I think Gronk is the one that would hurt them the most if in fact he retires. He's the hardest guy to replace. Not that I'm not taking anything away from Devin McCourty or, you know, other guys, but Gronk's the one.
Yeah.
That's the guy that is going to be the hardest to replace, and I'm not even convinced he's going to retire anyway.
But so 2020, you think he's going to play then? Like, I mean, we're talking about it now, but I'm saying Chatham's premise that for the foreseeable future, they're going to be, you know, a Super Bowl contender or a Super Bowl favorite or whatever.
They're going to restock this year. They're going to have the guys who didn't play this year because of injury are going to be back. They're going to have a bunch of top 3 round draft picks. What is it, like 7 of the top 70 or something, whatever the number is?
Yeah, but that's so misleading.
Or,
the highest one is 32. So they have all these picks in the 80s or whatever. Okay, great. So all of a sudden they're going to snap out of it and start drafting really well? Like, isn't that a little presumptuous?
Oh, no, I mean, you make it sound like all of their drafts suck.
All right, you like Derek Rivers, Antonio Garcia, Dietrich Wise, Connor
McDermott? I'm not suggesting that all of their draft picks are great. They also all don't suck.
But to say that they're going to restock and be better this year is just such a homer thing to say. So when they took Cyrus Jones in the second round, like, you loved that one, or Malcolm Brown and Jordan Richards and Geno Grissom or Dominic Easley, like, isn't the trend more likely that the draft is not going to really help them than that it would?
That's the question.
No, but what's the trend? They've had more bad drafts than good drafts over the last 5 years.
Well, I'll say this. one of their two first-round picks last year, I think they hit a home run on. The other one, I don't know yet.
Well, the other one didn't play.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know about Isaiah Wynn yet.
Michelle's solid.
They hit a home run on Sony Michel.
Right.
And we all wondered, what the hell are they doing spending a first-round pick on a running back? What are they thinking?
And then the second round, they took
And there
Duke
were
Dawson.
Some even on this radio station who suggested he should be phony Michel.
That probably falls into the hot sports take category. Could be a hot sports take. And I'm not saying, like, this obviously hasn't derailed them, but the question is, later on, does that come back to bite you? When you say, all right, well, who are the young guys? Like, who's in year 3 and 4 on this roster that's a rookie, right? Like, when you saw Dante Hightower kind of play it out and then get into his next contract, because they had some really, really good drafts for a while. Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower, Jamie Collins, even Logan Ryan and Daron Harmon proved to be very productive for them. They've had good drafts in the past. I just think recently, and one of the reasons is they traded a first-round pick for Cooks. That's fine, but then they ended up getting the pick back. They lost a pick for a ridiculous reason, but they lost a pick.
Yep.
But still, you don't have the last 4 years, the biggest impact is Trey Flowers, and he may go sign somewhere else. So I don't know. I'm not going to look at the draft and say, look at all these picks they have. They're definitely going to help themselves out. We'll see. Every guy they drafted this year, with the exception of Sony Michel, was on IR.
Probably safe to say that they're not going to go out and sign Le'Veon Bell, who is an unrestricted free agent
That's
now.
That's safe, yeah.
Did you see what Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News wrote?
No, what he said.
About why the Jets, who have frequently been mentioned as the team that's going to be hot in pursuit of Le'Veon Bell. He says there may be at least one reason why the Jets are hesitant about Bell.
What would that reason be?
He said, quote, word on the street was that Le'Veon Bell got up to 260 pounds during his year off.
Oh, boy.
And the
That's
Jets,
a big back.
And the Jets are concerned about what kind of shape he's in.
That is a big back. Well, I mean, what was he doing all year?
Well, he wasn't playing.
Yeah,
he wasn't posting those workout videos that we posted one today of James Harrison again on Dale Keefe. I mean, Antonio Brown's always posting workout videos.
Yes.
Yeah, Mr. Big Chest.
Say what you want about Brown, but he looks like he's in good shape.
We haven't seen much of Le'Veon Bell, have we?
He just ate himself out of the league. What is going on?
So word on the street. Now, I don't know what that
word
means, by
the
way. Word on the street, according to Manish Mehta.
What is that,
Manish?
What kind of reporting is that?
Got up to 260.
He's a big fella, though. But
Paige could get in touch with him.
Oh,
I mean, I don't want her to help him.
But
Paige would be one who could help him out.
So he was listed on his Pro Football Reference, 6'1", 225. So that is a significant amount of bad
35
weight.
35 pounds?
Yeah.
Of muscle.
Yeah.
Probably not so much muscle.
So that is, and then he wants, obviously, a ton of money. Plus, he's going to try to make up for all the lack of checks that he got this past year. That's going to be,
by the way, I still
feel like the Jets would sign him anyway. They'd be like, well, he's big. That's good.
I actually don't believe that he got that heavy.
260. Well,
I mean, 35 pounds sitting around eating bonbons and
if he got
downing
to a point,
craft brews in the Fortress of Solitude.
Oh, it can add up quick, Dale. Trust me. It can add up quick. Go to a couple of breweries. You have a good time. You're like, now I'm hungry. I got to eat a whole pizza. It's a thing. It's Donut Sunday every Sunday now for me.
At some point here in the next week or so, if we don't see either videos or pictures of Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, he better get out in front of this.
To refute this, show him out there working out with James Harrison or something.
He's gonna put another
plate on, James.
He's going to tweet out a video and somebody's going to be like, that's from 2014. Like, we could tell him about it.
Wouldn't that be great?
He's going to tweet out a video from a different year.
Wouldn't it be great if he posted some video that was like 4 years old?
Yeah, he's like, hashtag strive for greatness. And you're like, we can see the timestamp on the video that says 2015.
So not only did he light a match to, what was it, 12 point something million this year?
Yeah, at least, whatever the franchise number was for a running back.
So he lit a match to that.
Yes.
And he might have lit a match to more if, in fact, he ballooned, as Manish Mehta says. The Jets are concerned.
The Jets are concerned. So you can only imagine how every other team feels.
Every other team at least going, we're good.
We don't want him. I wonder how many years he thinks he's realistically going to get, because he just turned 27 the other day. So wouldn't like a 3 or 4 year deal make sense? I don't think anything more than that would. But I think the Jets have a ton of money.
Oh, they've got lots.
There's a bunch of teams that are way under the cap.
I hope they spend it on a 260-pound Le'Veon Bell.
Looking like LeGarrette Blount out there.
LeGarrette Blount wasn't 260, was he?
I mean, he was pretty big. He probably wasn't listed at 260, but My guess is he was close to it.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.